Oh.
Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Never before in the history of sports podcasts have two men brought you opinion and analysis like these two. They speak for a city that's desperate for wins and titles, not whining and travesty. You might not agree with what they have to say, but you'll defend their right to say it. Sports fans across the world, from Chicago, Illinois, this is the Mac and Reed Show.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Mac and Reed Show right here on the Barroom Network. Welcome in. If you are watching on YouTube, feel free to chime in. We got a lot to talk about today. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at The Real Evan Mac. Follow Ross at Ross Reed. And of course, if you've missed any of the previous episodes, they are on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your audio only versions, and they're on YouTube as well. But Barflies, welcome. Got some breaking Bear news here, as the Bears have just extended Jalen Johnson. It looked like he was getting the franchise tag, but now they went into talk. So we'll dive into his contract very shortly here, and also break down the Bears trading for Ryan Bates, getting some help along the offensive line. Rumors around the number one pick a swirling. The doldrums of this time before the draft. You know, we're watching the combine. We'll get Ross's impressions there, and the rest of the NFL news, as it's that time where there's not a ton of football news going on here. Talk about Dune 2 later on. Pumped to see that. Of course, surprises along the way, as usual. How you feeling, Ross? What's going on? We were just talking about Ross, and I, for one show, have less hair than Ross, I feel like, right now.
We're getting there. We're good. Yeah. This is a process that's been going on since October, and so we got – big things on the horizon from a hairstyle standpoint heading into the summer.
Feel free to comment on what hairstyle you think Ross should go for. Should he go for more the unbreakable look? As I joked before the show, Roman J. Israel, perhaps. Yes. We'd like to see it go as long as you can. Perhaps one of the, I feel like in The Matrix, where there's some dreadlock dudes, something like that. You could rock that, perhaps. You know, many other characters, yeah.
Might just go like full, like Ludacris, just full fro.
Oh, all yeah. The time. Ludacris at the halftime show. That's exciting, absolutely, man. So, as I alluded to, the breaking news today is that the Foster cover said, I had hair once. I love it. The breaking news today, Jalen Johnson getting the bag, man. 4 years, $76 million deal that comes out to about 19 mil a year. Very well-deserved for a guy who played at an all-pro level for the Bears. A really, you know, in every sense of the phrase, a lockdown corner, and the Bears get their guy at the going rate for a corner, you'd think, for again, $76 million, 4 years, locking him down. It's exciting when, you know, you looked at the potential for the franchise tag, and if you tag him, another team has the option to match it and you go back and forth perhaps. But now to lock him down and to build around Jalen Johnson, the likes of Sweat and other players, top caliber players on this defense. Really exciting stuff, Ross. What was your reaction to getting that deal done?
I thought it was great. I was hoping that they were going to get this deal done. As we knew, the franchise tag was going to be at about $19.8 million. That was going to take out a fairly significant piece of the Bears' cap space that they have, once you factor in the rookies that have to be accounted for as well. This sounds like this is right around, you know, high 40s, low 50s in guaranteed money, which is great for Jalen. But most importantly, you get one of your young homegrown centerpieces locked up for 4 years. I think we've seen now between Montez Sweat and Tremaine Edmonds and other guys Ryan Poles really is on top of these four-year deals. He really likes these four-year deals. He likes the flexibility for both sides to be able to hit the market again. I think most importantly for the immediate future of the Chicago Bears is you now go into early next week where free agency hits, And we don't have the exact numbers on the details yet, but I can promise you that first year, cap hit is going to be significantly lower than the $19.8 million. It might come out to about $16 million once you factor in the bonus structure. They're probably going to back end this a little bit. And every little bit helps in free agency this year when you have to spend. I think they're going to go big game hunting with one or two names on the list. They need to still get a veteran safety because you let go of Eddie Jackson. They still need a lot of wide receiver help. They might go fishing for running backs, you know, might bring in another offensive lineman, even though they got Ryan Bates. But all in all, great day for Jalen because he got paid. He bet on himself. And, you know, he was a true professional, I think, throughout this all last year. The guy played 14 games. He had a career high, 4 interceptions. To me, most importantly, even, you know, with that, you start looking at his advanced numbers. You know, teams, when targeting him, you know, only 55% completion percentage, they only targeted him 58 times, which is like, that's a pretty low number compared to his first 2 years in the league. You know, as a rookie, he was 78 times. And then his second season, he was at 72 times. That's the kind of respect that you can't buy. Well, actually, the Bears just bought it. and the quarterback rating was 50.9 when you targeted Jalen Johnson. He is the epitome at this point of a lockdown corner in the NFL. Great. And now it actually looks like a team-friendly deal when you look at what guys like Jaire Alexander are getting paid and Denzel Ward. So kudos to both sides for getting this done, man. I'm great to see it.
No question. 24 years old, he's entering that prime of his career. And like you just spouted out those stats and just picturing him along, you know, the young guys around him, like Kyler Gordon and Tyreek Stevenson, who was a great rookie last year, and Jaquan Brisker, all these guys just entering that young prime of their career. Really impressive. It's exciting. Ryan Poles, of course, said, we're extremely excited to be able to keep Jalen here for the next 4 years. He's an integral part of our defense, and his leadership will help our team continue to ascend. We want to thank Chris Ellison for helping get this extension done. Just really great, you know, just thinking back to the 2020 draft when he was drafted, you really thought that maybe you'd have a good piece there, but the way he's grown each year too, and you know, it's tough when you deal with that adversity, when you have questions at the coordinator position for defense and with the front office and with your head coach. Now you're getting some consistency, and this is a guy, again, between him and Sweat and a couple other guys on this defense where you can start to build around. Now, again, you talked about needs for the Bears. You're thinking about addressing pass rusher, but this is huge when you think about how paramount the cornerback position is in the league today with just the talent wide receivers. For other teams to throw to the other side of Jalen Johnson is huge, and it gives him the confidence, you know, when these guys get their deals done to go into now this 2024 season and play their asses off. And now he's, you know, it really just lights a fire under the locker room too, to have a guy like that re-signed with the Bears. So very well done by, again, like you said, both sides. You can't say enough about it.
Yeah, agreed. You hit it on the head with the locker room piece. These guys like to see the guys that they go to battle with, you know, week in and week out to get rewarded and get paid. It sends a good message to a lot of guys in that locker room. And it's an investment for other players on that defense, right? We talk about, obviously, Jalen Johnson is one of the premier corners in the league right now. But, you know, remember last year you had a rookie in Tyreek Stevenson, and he started off kind of up and down, but he really came on of late. And now he allows you to keep him at that number two corner spot. You know, you got a guy like Terrell Smith, who's probably going to play a little bit of nickel this year. He might play some safety spots as well. You still have Jalen Jones. You've got Greg Stroman, who also gave them some meaningful snaps last year. You look at that corner position for the Bears, and it now turns into a massive strength on the team. It's one of the bright spots really for this team. So now you don't have to really go out in this offseason and feel like you have to fill a hole. Right. And that's the biggest thing is you already have enough holes on the roster right now. You don't want to add to it, you know, or you don't even want the stress of, you know, is Jalen going to be disgruntled showing up to camp? Is he even going to show up to camp? And he's like, he doesn't have to stress on his mind about, you know, what's the future for my family? What happens if I get hurt? So on and so forth. We saw him last year kind of take a step away, not show up to camp, you know, until a little bit later. He wanted to deal with some stuff out in Fresno. I see the comment here that Jalen's going to be out at a golf event tomorrow in Fresno. the weight of his shoulders just has to just come off of him right now, knowing that he can just now relax the rest of this offseason and get his mind and body right, knowing that he's locked up long term. And now the Bears can go out next week and fill in other pieces and holes without having to worry about, you know, where that cap hit is at and whether their number one corner was going to show up to camp or not.
As much as the number one overall pick in the future, Justin Fields, is the big storyline this offseason, this was just as important for this Bears team's future success for the defense, of course, too. And then, the entire team. So to get it done this early on, we're about a month removed from the NFL season with the Super Bowl. It speaks volumes to, again, the way that Ryan Poles' regime is just making all the right moves, seemingly. I feel like, we'll see again with the rumors swirling about the number one pick if the Bears could potentially trade it, because they're definitely keeping their ears open to that potential. And it, again, goes back to Justin Fields' availability. But to Jalen Johnson, it's great to see that, you've signed him up and a vet at linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds. We talked about Montez Sweat, who's the highest paid player on that defense with the $98 million four-year contract for the Bears. But it's really striking while the iron's hot. It's funny with Eddie Jackson leaving. I think after he got the bag, his play suffered a little bit, but I don't want to compare the two at this point. Because Eddie was also just on the heels of that injury, I feel like, going in that playoff game where he didn't even play. So you don't want to compare the two, but good for Jalen Johnson. It's exciting again for him to get this news and really just have this entire offseason to prepare and then see, you figure these guys will be very vocal too with recruiting other players into the team now. But it was not the only move that was made this past week. It just certainly broke today and is the big headline for the Bears, but of great importance too. I think this is a guy that the Bears had their eyes on for a while with the Buffalo Bills, who was paving lanes for Josh Allen and company. But Ryan Bates was traded for by the Bears, gave up a fifth round pick for him. He's 27 years old. He's a guard who brings a lot of swagger to that team. It's like Ross said, you still should draft a center. You should look, you have Braxton Jones at left tackle, but perhaps you should look at some depth at the entire offensive line, because it's always an X man up type of scenario. But with the big whiff of Nate Davis, I just saw a list of the top 10 worst free agent signings of the last year. Nate Davis was like number five on there of all the NFL teams, and rightfully so, just blew up in their face for his personal reasons or injury. And then when he did play, he just sucked. It was not a great move for the Bears. So now got to reset, put that in rearview mirror. And now you get your guy who you've had an eye on for a while, and Ryan Bates, and you steal him away from Buffalo. What was your reaction to that move, Ross?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that Ryan Poles obviously had his eye on, like you said, a couple of years ago. They signed him to a restricted deal, but Buffalo really valued him in as an asset, as a swing player. But Buffalo right now is going through some serious salary cap issues right now. They are shedding a lot of players right now as they try and reset around Josh Allen. But I like him right now for just being that swing guy. I know right now in the moment he is a starting center, but I still think that Ryan Poles is going to address that spot either in free agency or the draft. And that still is a lot of TBD right now. I'm not a big fan of Bates if he is your starting center, whether that is with a rookie quarterback or even a guy like Justin Fields, because I think that's just a slightly elevated version of Lucas Patrick. And we saw how that, worked out last year. But I do think that, you hit it on the head. Nate Davis, not the ideal player last year. He struggled. There's injuries, there's personal stuff. Hopefully this year he can come back better. But even on the left side, you've got Tevin Jenkins, who has yet to show that he can play a full season in the NFL. And so you recognize that, while your two starting guards are going to be Davis and Jenkins, you still need a depth guy for both of them, because history is showing you these guys are not going to be able to show up for 17 games. And at least Ryan Bates can play throughout that middle interior line. If I were the Bears at this point, I would kick the tires on some of these veteran centers that are on the market. But if things get too expensive, you've got to accumulate more draft picks. And if I were them, I would actually just draft a center and allow that center to be your young starting center going forward. Even if that means Bates has to start the season as a starter while that young guy gets ready. But I think that's where they go. This is a very, very deep draft for the center position. Right now, it's all about them accumulating more picks. You've got Justin Fields. You got to make a decision on that. You're probably going to trade him within a week or so if you can find a team for that. You've got the number 9 overall pick that you can potentially trade down for and stockpile some other assets as well from there. So, right now the Bears have 5 draft picks. I think they'll pick up at least 3 more between now and 49 days, I think we're at from the NFL draft.
Oh, look at Ross. Feel free to chime in if you're watching on YouTube. What did you think of the Ryan Bates signing and trade and reactions to Jalen Johnson's extension at this point? With Bates, he does fill a need. It's a no-brainer with Buffalo. It's like you said, they just really didn't have a ton of choices as far as letting a guy like him go for a draft pick and getting younger when cap space is an issue for this team overall. I do need to see them draft a center or more interior lineman. I think, still I'm not entirely sold on Braxton Jones, but, him staying healthy is huge. You talked about Tevin Jenkins being on and off, but he is really trending in the right direction. Darnell Wright, solid at right tackle, you think. So they're really, it is early on. And we talked about the potential for us to hear about this number 1 overall pick going pretty early before the draft here, as you said. Mm-hmm. We're maybe 40 some days away from it at this point. But, taking attention away from Justin Fields and the number 1 overall pick, it's just as Ryan Poles making these right moves, you've got to think. And him making a trip down to the combine and checking out who the Bears will draft at 9 and number 1 overall. I know that there's been a lot of to be said about Caleb Williams and his workout and what he'll be doing not only the combine, but with individual teams, what you do, and you kick the tires on that potential. But that number 9 pick even seems more interesting to me with, the potential for a Brock Bowers or Roman Duze. And then if Olufoshanu drops to number 9, do you maybe, think about him and just have a really, really solid starting 5 together there and some depth for whoever will be the quarterback, either Fields or Williams or whoever else it will be. So have you been checking out the combine?
Checked out the combine last week. I think the biggest theme that we saw from the combine is in this NIL era of players that,
they're all getting paid.
The player empowerment era is reaching the NFL quite like it did with the NBA. And I saw a lot of people complaining about the combine last week. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, and this guy's not running, and this guy's not throwing, and this and that. And I got to tell people, the NBA has been here for like 10 years now. This is where the NBA has been at for a while, and this is what's going to keep happening in the NFL going forward. If you are basically the first overall pick, there's no reason for you to run and throw and do any of this stuff in an environment with a lot more other people. You have an opportunity now to control your surroundings, control the narrative. The medical thing, I don't know if people realize how that works, but you're in a room of about 20 to 30 doctors, and it's like rapid fire, people poking, prodding, testing every 15 minutes, this, and that. Caleb Williams doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to give medicals to the Broncos or the Packers or this and that. He has to give the medicals to one team, maybe 2 or 3. But no more than that, you know what I'm saying? And so you're going to see that going forward. What I think the combine has turned into, which is what it should be going forward, is an opportunity for the lesser guys to be able to showcase their skills. The guys that maybe are fighting for, who's going to get drafted in rounds, 2 through 7, right? And the opportunity for them to rise up. And we saw some dynamic athletes out there. We saw some burners out there, wide receivers running in the 4.2s and 4.3s. We saw some, some very good elite talent at the offensive line, position. I think it's a very good interior offensive line draft. There's some studs at edge. You talked about the options at 9th overall. We have to start talking about guys like Latu from UCLA, and Dallas Turner is going to be out there, and the kid from Florida State as well. There are some good edge talent as well if the Bears want to dip in on that side of things in the draft. So I think that was my biggest takeaway, which is the guys at the top of the draft, they're going to take an NBA approach to this going forward because they now have the power to do that. And this combine turns into a lot of let's let the other guys showcase their skills to see if they can move up. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, agreed. Caleb Williams, you know, when you're the presumed number one overall pick, your tape speaks for itself. And Marvin Harrison Jr. Basically showed up and said, it was some exchange to a GM where basically he's like, are you okay with this? Like, I'm not running or anything like that. He's like, yeah, I know what you can do. It could be the same should be said about Caleb Williams. Yes. And the talent these guys have out there, which is crazy. You know, when you think about these 20-some-year-olds in some cases, that it's come to this point, but rightfully so. I'm curious to see, you know, you talked about the blazing speed of some kids, like it was the kid from Texas who had the 4.2, I think.
Yep,
unbelievably fast. It just didn't look real. It looked sped up. Just to see the speed of these kids. And it goes back to like high school. Just going on my rant here, I feel like now, you know, it's completely different from when we were in high school, just how these athletes are training, medicine on their side, and just training staff, just the ability to really get a jump on it for these guys, especially who will go in this first round and in the draft overall, just some of the best athletes in the world. It's impressive. But going back to the all-important question, our Bears watch in 2024, a number one overall pick, and Justin Fields. I saw some joker on Twitter who says it's breaking. The Bears get an offer for number one overall pick. There's always some new rumor on Twitter, and we're always on it just thinking, did it happen? But nothing has happened yet. Bears still have the number one overall pick. Justin Fields has not been traded yet. Still in the same place we were on our couches from last week that we are now, Ross. And I don't think in your eyes or mine, I'll say if you're worthy, went to the same high school as Jalen Johnson. Thank you, Vizo Joe or Vizo, I don't know. But, yeah, Ross, I mean, has your opinion changed on that number one overall pick or any of this talk about the potential, you know, if they can't move Justin Fields, then where does that leave you? Potentially keeping Fields and then drafting Williams, I would suppose. What do you think?
Yeah, the first part first, I have not wavered. I actually think I've become more entrenched with the fact that Caleb Williams will be a Chicago Bear with the first overall pick, you know, come when that time comes. Everything you see from him, everything, the way he comports himself, in my opinion, I'm actually a big fan of his. I don't see the criticisms and the critiques, I think, are very misguided, but that's a whole different conversation for a whole different day, because I think a lot of it is he's disrupting the status quo, and you know, we've seen that before with athletes. I hearken him, if you ever seen different sport, but I made a comparison. If you ever seen the David Beckham documentary that's on Netflix, it's awesome. A lot of similarities, in my opinion, between the two guys. It's, you know, especially with the whole father thing, stuff like that. I kind of thought the same thing about Serena Williams. Obviously, different sports, but very similar to me. On the Justin Fields thing, I'll be honest with you, it's looking bleak right now for a trade partner. Pittsburgh looks like they're pivoting to Russell Wilson. Atlanta is kicking the tires on Kirk Cousins. Tampa Bay is trying to bring back Baker Mayfield, right? Patriots are trying to figure out what they're doing. I'm struggling right now to find a home for Justin Fields in the trade market as to who is going to want to, you know, actually go, you know, cough up some capital to go for him. I still think there's a lot of Atlanta buzz that should be out there. It really comes down to what happens with Kirk Cousins. The thing is, we're going to be able to find that out basically by this same time next week. And so I do think that, while I think the Bears would have liked to have had Justin traded by the end of this week, I don't think the offer that they wanted is out there right now. But I do think that more teams can and will come to the table after wave one of free agency. Most importantly, we need to find out what happens with Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield. Those are the three big names to drop right there, right? Then all of a sudden, there's some other teams that start coming into play. Maybe Atlanta needs a quarterback. Maybe it's Tampa Bay because they lost Baker Mayfield. What does Denver do now? Do they run it with Jarrett Stidham? Do they find, you know, something else, anything like that? So there are some sleeper teams that I think are out there for Justin Fields. I would not put it past the New York Giants, who I think are very much done with Daniel Jones, to kick the tires on Justin. I think that Brian Daboll would love to run an offense with Justin Fields out there. But, you know, right now, I think this same time next week, it'll be a lot more crystallized as to if Justin's still on the Bears, where he potentially will go, what that deal looks like, and then we can all turn the page forward and focus on who's going to be the first overall pick. You know, right now, if you go on FanDuel, Caleb Williams to the Bears is like, you know, minus 1,000. It's not even bettable at this point.
And it just doesn't make any sense. These rumors are just that. There's just no haul, no conceivable haul where both sides, I mean, the Bears would have to have something unbelievable to potentially move that number one overall pick. It just does not seem possible. Justin Fields value aside, and you feel bad for Justin Fields because you've seen some talent there and you'd like for him to be utilized somewhere in some landing spot should you would hope materialize based on all the prospects we talked about, and whether it be Atlanta or LA or some of these outlying teams. I mean, just look in the division too, maybe the potential's there. But yeah, Kirk Cousins, that domino needs to fall as he's, you know, that top free agent quarterback out there. But coming off a brutal injury too. So it's a tough market when you see, you know, likes of Mitch Trubisky getting signed with the Bills now, making moves. Mm-hmm. But there's not a ton in free agency other than what we talked about. I feel like Jalen Johnson really making the biggest headlines as far as free agency is concerned. We know that there's a lot to be determined between now and, you know, the beginning of the 2024 season. There's a lot of, you know, Chris Jones. We don't know what's going to happen with his contract. And there's a lot of edge guys with potential, and it came down to the wire. Look at last year with Yannick Ngakoue going to the Bears at during training camp. So, you know, some of these guys we won't know for a long time, but we will keep you posted here on Mac and Reed for sure. Any other Bears or NFL news that you're hot on right now?
No, I just think this is the calm before the storm right now. So this is, you know, this is the weekend right now. I think you're going to see some other deals kind of wrap up a little bit. I think you're going to see some minor deals. Yeah, you know, listen, the market right now, there are a lot of free agent safeties that have been, you know, that have hit the market right now. A lot of veteran safeties, good players have been released. So this is where kind of the market gets saturated a little bit over these next couple of days. And then you see a lot of guys seeing that and they start reeing up maybe for a little bit less than what they thought, because it's not, you know, the market doesn't dictate where they are. I saw safety today sign, you know, re-sign for Jacksonville for a little bit less than what he thought. That's going to happen right now. So, you know, there's going to be some guys re-upping. There's going to be some guys getting released, some surprise names. We see it every single year. We saw, you know, Simmons, an all-pro safety for the Broncos, get released today. You know, that's a big surprise right there. Those things are going to continue to happen. But this is the calm before the storm. On Monday, the real show begins. That's the legal tampering period that kicks off. We're going to start to see some heavy moving, shaking. And then, of course, 2 days later, by the time we do a podcast again, the official start of the season is underway, and we'll be able to have a lot more clarity on what's going on, at least with wave one of free agency. I'll throw one name out there that I think the Bears could realistically sign. That's a big name. I think they could go hard and heavy on Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle for the Miami Dolphins.
Slam dunk.
It will be a massive signing for them. I think if they are going to go into the deep end early in free agency, that would be a guy that I would keep an eye on.
Nasty. You know, I was just looking at all the top tier free agents that are out there. I'm very curious to see. I don't think the Bears. I know Josh Jacobs was asked about his free agency future, and he said he'd love to go to the Bears. I don't really particularly want him in a Bears uniform. No, thank you. But of these, exactly, yeah. But of, you know, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs. who was I just looking at? Saquad. You know, these guys, their future is up in the air at this point. But it's really these defensive guys that the Bears have to have their eyes on. Daniel Hunter in your division, if you could get him from the Vikings, goodness. I mean, there's still a ton, you know, with the expansion of the cap space throughout the league and with the Bears having already been really savvy with their cap space so far. It's really looking good, you know, again, with circling back to Bates and Jalen Johnson. Good start to free agency. You'll got to keep it here on the Barroom Network and with Mac and Reed as we keep tabs on the moving of the number one pick and Justin Fields, of course. But moving on, let's talk about you teased it, Ross. We'll do a complete 180 here. But Schoolboy Q came out with his new album here.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I was a big fan of it. I got to give it another listen to. But yeah, what were your thoughts about this? You know, it's been so long since he's had a full album.
Yeah.
It really caught me off guard, but it was great. Features were great. I mean, the production on point. What'd you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed it too. You know, a huge Schoolboy Q fan. Loved the last album that he had. This to me reminded me a lot of, you're starting to see that progression into hip hop. You know, we of course have talked ad nauseum since you and I've had a show about Kanye West, but you really start to see his imprint on a lot of where hip hop is at today. A lot of Schoolboy Q album has got some soul samples and some heavy kind of drums on there, but then he kind of switches it with the synthesizer. You kind of get that Kanye Travis Scott sound in there, and he kind of blends the two. You know, we talk about a lot about how hip hop has gone with these songs to, you know, the two different beats from two different producers on one song and stuff like that. But I was a huge fan of the project. To me, the album really kicked off. You know, that Rico Nasty song, you know, in track two, Pop, was just absolutely amazing. You know, Freddie Gibbs, Ab Soul, from a lyricist standpoint, right? You know, those are two guys that we love. He's got Childish Gambino on there as well. So
Freddie Gibbs he's
on a tear right now.
Peaking right now on a tear after the Back to Me on Vultures. Yeah.
Yes, he's on a tear right now. So I think Schoolboy Q, you know, he's on that Top Dog label. So he always, to me, got like, you know, kind of overshadowed by Kendrick, right? You know, you got guys like Kendrick on there. Even SZA is a huge artist, a Grammy award winning artist, right? And you know, they got like Sir on there, who's an R&B artist, and J-Rock. Where the hell's J-Rock at? J-Rock's been missing for a while. So there's so much talent on that label. I think even their second level guys get lost in the shuffle. So I'm glad to see him out from that Kendrick shadow on that label for this album. And they put a lot of support behind him, and they put together a good project. I enjoyed it.
2024 off to a good start. We got ASAP Rocky with an album in the works coming out soon. Baby Keem, who had a great debut album. Kendrick's cousin, your boy Future, he should be coming out with something pretty soon.
Metro Boomin, yep.
Metro Boomin, man. Metro Boomin, one of the best producers out there. Lil Yachty having a project after his weird Dark Side of the Moon type of album, whatever that was. And then we'll see if Ice Spice can keep it going. And Drake just continues to Ross, impress as far as his rap credentials and putting himself, he might be Mount Rushmore of rappers at this point. He's really getting up there just in sheer volume and features. I mean, it's unbelievable what he has been able to accomplish.
He certainly is. You know, to me right now, there's three names right now at the top in hip hop. You've got Kendrick, Cole, Drake, and Cole is coming out with a new album too. He teased a sample last week of The Fall Off coming out. And to me, right now, Drake is the best entertainer that we have right now in hip hop, right? I think Kendrick is the best artist in terms of taking chances and what he does with his music. But J. Cole right now has got the lyricist belt, in my opinion. I don't think anybody's rapping better, at least out of those three, than J. Cole right now. And I think he is my favorite rapper alive at the moment. I saw the comment in there too, asking about, you know, Griselda. I'm still a Griselda fan. I love Kanye. I love Conway's last album. I think it was terrific. The Benny album was a little bit disappointing to me. It's his first album on Def Jam, and I think you felt the commercial feel of Def Jam on that album, which, you know, those guys are very street gutter, you know, Buffalo centric. I think West Side Gun of the guys in that group keeps that going the most. But I'm still a Griselda fan, but I'd like to see Benny come together a little bit better next time. But J. Cole's got the belt for me right now, and I don't think anybody's taking that away from him anytime soon. So much so, I think the Fall Off is coming out soon. He just announced Dreamville Festival to be coming out this summer. That album will come out before this summer, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be the best hip-hop album, not only of this year, but I think over the last 5 years.
Whenever it comes out, you know, the top guys stay the top guys. Kendrick, even just coming off his last album and really not going to tour or put out a project for a while, I would think. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, and I wonder when he will come back with some music. It baffles me, but that's just kind of how elusive he is as a talent. And then J. Cole and Drake putting out stuff constantly. And then the guys who are like nipping at their heels, just the youth that's out there right now. I'm curious to see what Jid comes out with his next project. Yeah. And Freddie Gibbs, who we talked about, who, you know, had the lyric of the year so far on Back to Me, the verse of the year on Back to Me. On Kanye's album, and when's his next solo project going to come out? And for that matter, when's his project with Madlib going to come out, the sequel to Pinata? But great for music right now. We've talked about that at length. Let's talk about Dune 2, Ross. And that has hit theaters. And if you like sci-fi, you're going to enjoy this. I watched a little bit of Dune, the part one, Dune the first, if you will. And just such a great cast, and how they're adding Austin Butler and Florence Pugh at this point, and just visually, like, this is made to be seen in theaters. And I won't be seeing it in IMAX, but I'll see it in theaters. Exciting, and you know, Timothée Chalamet really just peaking at the right time here. But just this cast is, you can't say enough about him. And I saw that Josh Brolin's hosting SNL this Saturday, and Josh Brolin's just a treasure. He was great in part one. And just, I can't, you know, he was Thanos. He just continues to add on to his great catalog of movies and TV that he has been in, just stays winning. But Dune 2, when you're seeing it, what are your expectations, Ross?
I saw it last Sunday.
I saw it right in the first weekend.
Had to see it right away. I rewatched the first one last Saturday, because there is a lot that you need to digest, not just the spice that everybody's fighting over, but there's a lot to remember from the first film. And then I watched the second one last Sunday in theaters on a beautiful big screen sound, and it absolutely blew me away. It is the most beautiful film I've seen in the last 5 years. Denis Villeneuve, he's the director. If you're not familiar with his work, he's done Sicario, he's done Arrival. He's done Prisoners, obviously Dune 1. This guy has got a lot of big, big movies underneath his belt, a lot of beautiful movies. And you could tell that it all came to fruition with this movie. It is absolutely incredible what he did. You hit it on the head. The cast is absolutely amazing. Chalamet is like he's going to be the new Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, he's approaching that level right now. But you've got Zendaya, who is, of course, one of our huge stars in the movie. Florence Pugh is in the movie. You mentioned Austin Butler coming off of the Elvis movie and, you know, the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino movie. Rebecca Ferguson is in the movie. What's his name? I'm forgetting his name right now. Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken is in the movie as well. You talked about...
I didn't even know that.
yes. He's in the movie as well. So you talked about Josh Brolin in the movie. Javier Bardem is back in the movie. Just an outstanding cast, outstanding movie. You got to make a third one, Denny. Please make a third one. And, you know, as we approach the Oscars this weekend, remember Dune was supposed to come out last year, but it got pushed back because of the strike. I can promise you, Oscars 2025, just like Oppenheimer is like doom, doom, boom, boom, boom this year, Dune is going to be boom. You're going to see Dune nominated for a solid 15 Oscars. It's what I compare when Lord of the Rings Return of the King came out, or when Star Wars Empire Strikes Back came out. It's that kind of sequel for a franchise film. I know Return of the King was the third one, but that was the pinnacle of that franchise.
Well, it's like you said, it feels like that is the hype. And Dune 1 was great. Part 1, I think, too, also deservedly should have been in, you should have seen it in theaters. But, you know, if you got a nice home entertainment system at home, nothing wrong with that, too. But now capitalizing off that success, just adding to the cast, adding more star power, keeping Dennis, you know, the director, the sound, everything that goes around it. And, you know, for again, we talk about being very CGI heavy. This is still very tastefully done. It's sci-fi for sure, but there's a lot of, you look at the makeup that Skarsgård had to go through to be in that fat suit. It was just fucking crazy, taking 8 hours to get in that. And
Austin Butler did the same thing.
Of course, Austin Butler's makeup too. Yeah,
bananas. You hit it on the head. What I was about to say is this is not CGI heavy. I mean, obviously they got fucking sandworms and spaceships and stuff like that. That stuff is CGI heavy. But he still shot this movie in the sand on location in Iran, I believe he shot it. You know, he shot it. He made a point to shoot it underneath the sunlight every single time he did. Like, he still shot this beautifully on location. This isn't one of your fast movies that just looks like CGI bullshit, or one of these, like, they show the trailer to the new Planet of the Apes movie and the new Godzilla versus Kong movie. Well, like a fucking video game. Like, it looked like a video game on my TV. I'm like, I'm not going to
shoot it in a studio. That's
right.
It,
yeah. It's a green screen, and you got, like, you know, Brian, you know, Taylor Henry, whatever the guy's name from Atlanta. He's, you can tell he's looking at a green screen. It's like, there goes Godzilla again. And I'm like, I don't want to see this. These people were actually, like, in the sand, in the heat, doing this. And I appreciate that. Make real movies in real environments, please. Even if it is an epic, you know, movie that's supposed to take place a century in the future, with different planets fighting over cinnamon.
It can be done. It can be done. That spice. I want some of that spice.
You want some of the cinnamon.
It gives you. It has such great health benefits, and then it's also important for interstellar travel, of course.
Yes.
What a fucking spice! It's like unobtainium and all this shit. I love these, you know, sci-fi movies, the certain elements and things that are invented here that that really are like the MacGuffin for a film that keep it going. Well, I got to see it. I'm seeing Saturday, and I'm excited. Did you get the Dune popcorn box that went viral, Ross?
I was so upset. I did not get. They didn't have the Dune popcorn box, which is.
Oh, they didn't even have it. Yeah, but they've been sold out.
Yeah, sold out. I don't know what people are doing with their Dune popcorn boxes in the privacies of their own home.
Cut the bottom and have yourself a time. Pretend you're the Sarlacc. Good times. I saw Johnny Manziel in the news. We got quick hits and we'll wrap it up here. But yeah. Johnny Manziel in the news talking about not going to the Heisman ceremony for right reason until Reggie gets his Heisman back. It's still ludicrous to me that these kids are getting paid the way they're doing finally, and Reggie can't get his Heisman back. Will he get his Heisman back, Ross?
I think he will eventually, but I mean, it's, you know, much different circumstances. Different circumstances, but I equate it to having somebody locked up for selling weed when I can go to my dispensary three blocks away and buy it legal now. You know, like, it's, you're punishing people for past transgressions when it was actually, in reality, it was going on the whole time. There are plenty of stories of going back to John Wooden, knowing that he had put players on his team that were pay for play. So, absolutely nonsense. Shout out to Johnny Manziel for saying that. He's absolutely right.
Yeah, please get him his Heisman back as soon as possible. Just right, you know, like Johnny Manziel said, he is the Heisman, just one of the most electric players, you know, of all time that you could think of. And, you know, just, it's just criminal what the NCAA did, taking it away from him.
Caleb Williams won his Heisman Trophy. He made $10 million in NIL money as a quarterback of USC. The guy was living in a $1.5 million penthouse downtown LA. Give Reggie his Heisman back.
Yeah, man. Do the right thing. Unbelievable. Jake Paul will be fighting Mike Tyson, Ross. And Mike
7-year-old Mike Tyson.
How old?
57.
57? I was about to say, he's got to be pushing 60 at this point.
57. And I still would not get in the ring with Mike Tyson at 57 years old.
It's pretty
My kidneys would beg me not to.
God damn, yes. Mike Tyson. Pretty unbelievable. I don't know. I don't know if I could tune into that. And it's just such a spectacle with all these Paul fights. I feel like, come on, fight someone an actual boxer at this point. Yeah. You've earned a lot of clout as a competitor at this point. You've been classified as a pretty solid boxer, but you got to get the bigger opponents. You can't be fighting old men in the ring here. Mike Tyson shouldn't be fighting either, but it's such a big payday for the both of them. Who was surprised?
This is where boxing is headed now. It's turned into basically WWE. It's turned into like this big exhibition spectacle where you don't know, you know, what's real and what's not real. And, you know, at this point, if you know, the combat sport that's taken over is UFC, you know, it's MMA and it's UFC. That's where that this is headed. I do miss the old days where boxing and a big heavyweight fight actually meant something and was the spectacle that we all cared about. But those days are long gone.
Yeah. I mean, the closest we got was what, Fury and the Bronze Bomber, I feel like, you know, that's and even that just didn't really hold up. You just feel like Vegas intervenes and goes to the scorecard. It's a long way from Tyson's days or, of course, Ali's days. But what'd you make of Eberflus and the, what was I just looking at? Eberflus was sitting next to him. Yeah, to the room floor. LaFleur taking in a basketball game, college basketball game together. What do you think they were talking about?
They were just talking.
Talking
about the kids and stuff. Matt Eberflus's daughter is looking to go to Marquette. You know, I saw people in the comments like, why does she go to Illinois or Champaign? I don't think people realize when you live close to Lake Forest, that's actually much closer to Milwaukee than it is to Chicago, and certainly
a fine school too. Who
closer
cares?
Yeah. to Champaign, absolutely. So I think they were just, you know, shooting the shit. Listen, I think people would be surprised how many players from rival teams and rival coaches really meet up and talk shop and stuff like that. There was a great podcast a couple years ago with guys with Sean McVay and Pete Carroll and how they would talk shop. And so this happens a lot more than you think.
Yeah, I suppose. I still don't like it, but I do like I like that Eberflus is seemingly enjoying a little vodka soda there. You got the glove, you got the nice fade. He's you know, he's got to compete with LaFleur. He probably just got the haircut just because he knew he'd be sitting next to him.
Man, you know, Eberflus is looking good, man. He reminds me of what was that one movie with Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling where Ryan Gosling took Carell out and fixed him up with the clothes and brought him to the bar and stuff like that. That's what it reminds me of. So Good glow up over the off season for Matt Eberflus. Hopefully, it translates into more wins on the football field. Or else, you got to shave the beard.
Ooh, you're right about that. I'll end with this. Circling back to Jalen Johnson news, Adam Schefter tweeted: the Bears went from dealing with Jalen Johnson's trade request at the deadline last season to reaching an agreement with him on a 4-year deal today. Quite a change and a testament to the time that was put in to salvage the situation, and a positive way to end. And the Ryan Poles era that we're at right now, stay tuned, Bears fans. We have a lot to unpack as we get from March into April and the rest of this offseason. Thanks to everybody for watching. We got a ton of people watching today. Thank you to all the Barflies. And shout out to Tooch, the VIP. Follow him on Twitter for all sports gambling tips and all that. Ross as well, at Ross Reed. Follow me at The Real Evan Mac. I don't tweet, but I will be on Twitter. And of course, you can get the audio only versions of our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and like, subscribe, tell a friend or two, share it. We'll be back probably Wednesday or Thursday. We'll let you all know. But for now, we say deuces. Everybody be good to each other out there. So long.
Peace.